this being the first Sunday of the month, we always take anything that's not designated and we give it to the oblation fund. Those of you that don't know what the oblation fund is or what it does, within our church, we keep this money aside in case somebody, whether it's in our church or whether it's other congregations or just someone that needs it, either whether they need extra help with paying bills or food, clothing, or whatever, that money's set aside for them just so that we can help them out. A lot of it's not talked about, and a lot of you will not see it used, but it does help many people, so this oblation fund is very important. So if you would bow with me, and we'll pray over the offering. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've given us. And this starting a new year, we pray that we can continue to worship you and serve you freely and openly. We pray that you will continue to pour out your blessings upon us. We pray that you'll take this money, that it will be used in a way that will be pleasing to you. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
It is a joy and a privilege to welcome you and greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and trust that you would continue to bless us with that spirit that has already been here in attendance. And we invite you to worship. For a scripture reading, I'd like to share from 3 Nephi chapter 9, starting with verse 44. And Jesus said unto them, "He that eateth this bread eateth of my body to his soul, and he that drinketh of this wine drinketh of my blood to his soul, and his soul shall never hunger nor thirst, but shall be filled." Now when the multitude had eaten and drunk, behold, they were filled with the Spirit, and they did cry out with one voice, and gave glory to Jesus, whom they both saw and heard. We'll continue with the singing of 441, and following this, priest Larry Ellis will bring us a invocation. 441, I'm sorry. You stand.
Yeah. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this opportunity to be able to come before You this day. And we do ask that Thou would bless us this day and minister unto each and every one of us, and to be with our brother as he brings the spoken word this day. We do thank Thee for Thou hast sent Thy Son to die for our sins. As we come before this table this day, to recognize the fact that we have the opportunity to be forgiven of those things that we have done. We do praise Thee, Lord, and we do thank Thee. And we do ask that Thou would be with us this new year, that we may be able to be found doing those things which would be pleasing unto Thee. For we do love Thee and we do praise Thee. In Thy Son's most holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A couple of scriptures probably in your hearing. One of them is after Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 22nd verse through the 26th. And this is just before Jesus was betrayed, and it was in the Passover. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat this in remembrance of My body, which I have given a ransom for you." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, "Drink you all of it. And for this is in remembrance of My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on My name for you, for your remission of their sins. And I give unto you a commandment that you shall observe to do the things which I have, that you have seen Me do unto the end. And serve Me unto the end." This is a service of sacrament, or it's a covenant. I think this thing's in my... And what is a covenant? If we believe in a covenant, it's a sharing, or everything in common, possessions in common. If it's a sacrament, it's a symbol or something regarded as sacred. You know, and we know that in Jesus' time, after He was crucified, He came and shared the sacrament with the Nephite people on this continent. And He shared many things with them, but they didn't understand them all. And so He told them to go home and to pray about it and see if that you might have understanding. But you know, the sacrament service here began at 9 o'clock. And if we wasn't here at 9 o'clock, we might have missed some of the distinctives of the covenant that we have made with Jesus. Because the first thing Jesus did when He was on this continent, He showed Himself unto the people, and then He shared with them the blessings of life, and He shared with them His love and His compassion and His mercy unto them. His bowels were filled with compassion for them. And then He said, "Do you have any sick among you?" I see that your faith is sufficient to be healed. Now, that isn't the communion, is it? But it is a prayer, and it is a service. And they brought forth their sick and their lame and their deaf and their leopards. And he healed every one of them. This was part of the Sabbath, part of the sacrament. And then he asked them to bring their little ones. And he took them up in his arm and he blessed them. And then we know that he told the multitude to kneel upon the ground. And Jesus knelt upon the ground and prayed unto his heavenly Father. And then he told them to bring their little ones, and he blessed them. And then we know they looked up to heaven, and the heavens opened unto them, and they seen angels descending as if in a ring of fire or mist of fire. And they come down and ministered unto their little ones. And when he seen this, Jesus wept because of their faith. And they bore record of it. His joy was filled because of the faith of the people and the commitment that they had. And he showed them how to pray. Because remember, they had never had the sacrament before. They believed in Christ. They believed in the virgin birth and the Son of God. But they had never experienced it. Here he was in the flesh. And the first commandment he gave them was to the disciples to go and get some bread and wine and bring it to him. And when they brought it to him, he asked the people to sit down upon the earth. And he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to the disciples. And he commanded them that they should eat. And then they give unto the multitude and commanded that they should eat and be filled. And then he changes a little on his on this sacrament, because Jesus was doing all of it. But he says later on, and then the multitude that ate and were filled, and he said unto his disciples, there shall be one be ordained among you, and to him will I give power, that he shall break bread and bless it and get unto the people of my church and to all those who believe and be baptized in my name. And this shall you always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broke bread and blessed it and given it to you. And this shall be a remembrance of my body, which I have showed unto you. And this shall be a testimony unto the Father, that you do always remember me. And if you do always remember me, you shall have my spirit to be with you. Then he served the wine unto his disciples first, and they were filled, and they served the multitude, and they drank, and they were filled. And then there was a testimony here that Jesus had. And he said, this shall always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And you shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you. And this you may witness unto the Father, that you do always remember me. This is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that the first that was served on this continent by Jesus Christ after he was resurrected. And he says on then, he says, as you have seen me pray among you, even so you shall pray unto my church among my people who do repent and are baptized in my name. And he said, behold, I am the light. I have set an example before you. So we have the example. We are not to deviate from that. He says, when we take away or add more, it is not of him. We're supposed to do this the way Jesus set the sacrament up, his broken body and spilt blood, as we have symbols here this day. But there was another commandment, a second commandment he gave at this same time. And this commandment is, and now behold, this is the commandment which I give unto you, that you should not suffer anyone, knowingly to partake of the of my flesh and my blood unworthily, when you shall minister it. For whosoever eateth and drinketh my flesh and blood unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to his soul. And then he invites those that have not made that covenant with him in the waters of baptism. And he says that we are to pray for them, and they are, we are to minister unto them, and we're supposed to show his our light unto them. And our light is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light that we are to shine forth out of our lives. And there was something in this that caught my attention. As Jesus kept saying to the multitude, pray unto the Father in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I got looking at that, and I started counting the times that he said that we should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, or in his name. And there's six times in, what, six pages, I think, here, that he mentioned this. Do you think that's important, or is it just Jesus just making small talk? Because he told us to pray over our wives and our families, that we may not be tempted from the evil one, Satan. And I think we need to consider that as petition our Heavenly Father, that we do it in the manner that he intended for us to do, not in our own way or our own ideas, but in his way and his ideas. I would like to close with scripture out of Moroni, and then they will serve this sacrament. And this is in from Moroni, the sixth chapter, the sixth verse. And the church did meet together often to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together often to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Yeah.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, at the beginning of this new year, and with a clean slate, as our sins have just been forgiven, we would humbly pray that you would take charge of our lives, that you would guide us in the paths that you would have us to go, that we might be found worthy to be a part of your kingdom, that we might be about the process of building your kingdom, that we might be reaching out to those who are sin sick, that do not have what we have, the peace and the quiet that is here this day, dear Father, the spirit that is here, they do not have. So I would humbly pray that this year we might reach out, that those that are out there that need to be reached might be reached. We would humbly pray that you protect and that you would guide each one of us, that we might go forward in service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a wonderful gift we just received. In the preparatory hymn 269, in the fourth verse, it says, "In this sweet morning hour, O seal on me thy cleansing power, that I may holy be." This truly was a gift. We're not worthy. I'm not worthy of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made for us. And as we sang that song, I was reminded of a video that my wife and I watched on the internet yesterday. And if you want to know the name of the group or the song, see her, because she remembers that stuff and I don't. But it was a song where the group was singing, and behind them there was a big blackboard. And people kept coming in and writing their sins and their burdens and their troubles in their lives on this blackboard. And as they sang the song, as it got to the end, water started washing down over that blackboard. And when they were done with the song, all their sins and all their burdens and everything was wiped away. And it was a clean slate, like Alan said in his prayer. I made the comment to my wife that it should have been blood that was coming out of that blackboard, because that's what God's done for us. Like I said, we're not worthy, but he loved us enough anyways that he died on the cross for us, that we can come here once a month, partake of the sacred emblems, and remember the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made for us. I'd like to start in Philippians 3:13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have..." let me start over. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." So we come to the beginning of a new year, and we just took sacrament. I think it's wise counsel that we don't look on the past anymore, not dwell on the past. We have sins in our lives, and we have shortcomings and things that we can learn from, mistakes we've made. But I think sometimes we dwell on those things. And if we dwell on those things, then they can hinder us. They can make us afraid. They can make us reluctant to go forth. So I think we need to not look back anymore. Not look back on the last year. Not look back on the last month. For today, we start anew. Traditionally, at the end of the year, some of us do resolutions. Some of us have probably done resolutions this year. Most of us probably don't remember what resolutions we did last year, because we usually quickly forget them. So I got online and I typed in Google search top resolutions, and I came up with the top three resolutions that people say they make. One is to lose weight, second is to get out of debt, and third is to stop a bad habit. I found that kind of surprising, because I also searched and almost 80% of Americans claim to be Christian.
claim their faith in Christianity. Yet none of their top resolutions had anything to do with spiritual well-being. So I put together a list of New Year's resolutions that we can look at and apply to our lives and that we would be better off for it. First one I came up with was we need to pray for our nation. In Ether chapter 1, 31 and 35, "And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which he have written." Our illustrious president made a statement not too long ago that we are no longer a Christian nation. I hope he's wrong. Because if he's not wrong, then God's protections are going to be withdrawn from us. And by decisions that we've already made by our leaderships, we are in bondage. We're in bondage to other nations that hold our national debt over us. And in Proverbs 22:7 it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Doesn't sound like we're that much of a free nation anymore when China holds $1.7 trillion of our national debt. Sounds like we're in bondage to China. Another thing we need to pray for our nation is that a recent survey between 18 and 29-year-olds, 65% of them rarely or never pray with others, and 38% almost never pray by themselves. 65% rarely or never attend church. 67% don't read the Bible. Many are unsure Jesus is the only path to heaven. Half say yes and half say no. In 1990, 86% of people identified themselves as Christians in this nation. And now 2009, not even 20 years later, it's down to 76%. At the current rate, most Americans will not identify themselves as a Christian, but will identify themselves as non-religious or non-Christian by the year 2035. Another thing that we should strive or make a resolution to do is to be hated of the world. Matthew 6:25, "And again I say unto you, go ye into the world, and care not for the world. For the world will hate you, and will persecute you, and will turn you out of their synagogues." And 1 John 2:16, For all in the world that is of lust of flesh, and lust of eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You don't have to do anything but turn on the TV to see that that's where we're at as a nation. All you got to do is stand in a grocery store and look at the magazines that are on display before us and our children to realize what an evil world we live in. Another thing we should do is we should trust in the Lord. Number three, trust in the Lord. And in Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This is probably one of the things I struggle with. Leaning on the Lord. You know, in times of trial and tribulation and when things are going bad, we often will take the time to pray for our Heavenly Father, pray to our Heavenly Father for help. You know, and over the years, I've heard lots of testimonies, especially from little children, about how they lost something that was insignificant or something that was small, and they took time to pray for God to intercede and help them find it, and he did. And I want to say I doubt those testimonies, but I always, I guess in the back of my mind, thought, well, you know, our God created the entire universe. Should I really take the time to bother him, I guess, with the little things? And so I don't often do that. And this week, my daughter Samantha received some money for Christmas presents for Christmas from family members, and she'd been saving it. She wanted to go shopping, and I don't remember the exact day, or this week, or I guess it was Wednesday. We were gonna planned a trip. I had the week off for vacation, so we had planned a trip. We were going to go see a movie as a family, and then we were going to go shopping. Tuesday night, Samantha couldn't find her purse that had all of her money in it. So obviously she was upset because her money was gone. She couldn't find it. And we kind of looked a little bit on Tuesday night a little bit for it and couldn't find it. And it was late when she came to us and said it was missing. It was kind of late in the evening. So, you know, we went to bed. Next morning we got up and I started looking for her. And I was frustrated. Probably wasn't being extra nice to her about it, reminding her how she needs to learn to take care of her stuff, and these things wouldn't happen if she would put her things away and all this stuff. And so we were all searching throughout the whole house. We'd looked under sofas, cushions, we'd looked everywhere. And I'd said a little prayer early on in this adventure, but it was just kind of half-hearted. You know, Lord, help us find Samantha's purse. And as time went on, we still didn't find it, and we kept looking. And everybody had gone in different rooms, and I was in the kitchen. And I finally said a prayer that was worthy to my Heavenly Father. And I pleaded with Him to please give me a testimony, give my family a testimony, help me find this purse. And I had the thought to go look underneath the Christmas tree. So I went over there, and I got down on the floor, and I was looking under the skirt and still didn't see it. I was pretty disappointed because I thought for sure that thing was going to be under that Christmas tree. Right next to the Christmas tree, we have a little vent that sits right next to the wall. And just for a split second, I peeked over, and way down inside that vent, I could just barely see the smallest corner of her purse. So we need to trust the Lord in all things. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8 tell us, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In 2 Nephi, we're also told, chapter 12, verse 5, and they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear ye our precepts. And in 2 Timothy 3:7 it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Long time ago, and I read this book. It's called As It Was in the Days of Noah. I'm sure some of you have read it. On page 63, there's something that's always stuck with me. When it talks about us learning under our own, wise under our own understanding. It was a survey that was done for incoming freshmen to a Bible college. And as the freshmen came in, they had their diploma, high school diploma. They were asked a series of questions. They were asked if they believed in God. 100% of them said, yeah, makes sense, they're going to Bible school. Did they believe in the divinity of Jesus? 100% said yes. Only 96% of them believed in biblical miracles. 100% believed in life beyond death. 96% believed in the virgin birth. 96% believed in the existence of devils. 96% believed in Jesus, that He walked on water. Well, then they waited a few years after they got their bachelor's degree and they gave them the same survey. And 4 years of learning man's wisdom, only 71% of them believed in God anymore. Only 79% believed in the divinity of Jesus. Only 54% believed in miracles. 82% believed in life after death. 55% believed in the virgin birth. 58% in the existence of devils. 54% believed Jesus walked on water. 64% was the average. And then they went on to those who went on to graduate school and got their PhDs. They gave them the same survey after they got out of that. And only 63% of them believed in God at that point. Only 63% believed in the divinity of Jesus. Only 37% believed in miracles. Only 53% believed that there was life beyond death. 32% believed in the virgin birth. 22% believed that Jesus walked on water. and the average was only 43% was the average. So as these people got wiser in man's learnings and teachings, they no longer believed in God. And I would assume, it doesn't say, but because it was a seminary, Southern Seminary, that probably a lot of these went on to pastor congregations and to lead youth groups and ministries. And we wonder why our Christian faith is at peril in this country. So we need to, number five is we need to seek God's wisdom, godly wisdom. In section 10:3, seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mystery of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall you be made rich. You know, we need to be seeking God's wisdom, not worrying about what man teaches us, or not worrying about the knowledge that we can gain and how we can look. And we need to be studying our scriptures and learning God's wisdom. Number six, be not prideful. Again, in 2 Nephi 12:12, yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their work shall be in dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way, they have become corrupted. Because of pride, and because of false teachers and false doctrines, their churches have been corrupted. And their churches are lifted up because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob from the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob from the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because of their pride. They are puffed up. And Proverbs 13:10 were warned, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Don't think I probably need to spend a lot of time on pride. There's a lot of God's wisdom and God's words that discuss pride and how he doesn't like it. And doesn't take very long to look into the world to see the pride of the world and what that has led to. Number seven, we should honor the Lord with our wealth. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Well, the first thing I thought of on that was, of course, tithe, our financial law. How we need to make a better effort as a people, as an individual, to be an accounting steward and follow the law of tithing that God has given to us. But then as I read some other scriptures, Matthew 25:35, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed me? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So the law of tithing is something we can do that God has given us to, for ourselves, to be obedient unto him. In Matthew 25, I think we learn what in action we can do that would honor our Heavenly Father with our wealth. You know, help the needy and help the poor and be an example that we're called to be. Number eight, I got down that we need to be coal heapers. Of course, I took that out of Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And then in Luke 6:27, but I say unto you who hear my words, love your enemies, do good to them who hate you, bless them who curse you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a hard one. There's guys I work with I work in the construction business, so I come across some pretty rough characters and pretty worldly in their discussion and their language and their talk, and it's hard for me to even want to be around them let alone try to bless them and try to, you know, feed them if they're hungry and do those things that we are called to do. But that's what our calling is. We need to, you know, like George said, he made a mention earlier about God had given him a time to talk to somebody. You know, we never know what our actions are going to do, who's watching, how we can affect somebody's life. You know, if they're mean and angry, and they may have a reason for that. They may have had a rough life, and by extending a hand to them of kindness and love, you never know what effect that's going to have on their lives. Number nine, I've got, we need to be not so busy. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Take time. We need to take time daily to be still. Spend some personal, private time with our Lord and Savior. We have a lot of things that demand a lot of our time. Another example I found in here that kind of struck home with me was in Luke 10:39. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In that story, Martha was so busy tending to serving and worried about the house, and I love my wife dearly, so I hope I'm not going to get in trouble with this, but we get into a few arguments now and again, because when we have company over, she distresses on the house being picked up and everything cleaned, and sometimes it causes a little contention because I don't think it's important that everything's in perfect order, but we usually do because when mama's happy, everybody's happy. So I think sometimes we get caught up, you know, here Martha missed an opportunity to sit at the Savior's feet, to hear his words, to communicate with him and be part of something very special, because she was too busy running around serving. And then not only was she too busy running around serving, she was also angry. I assumed, it sounds like she was pretty angry about her sister not helping her. So I think we need to be not so busy in the new year. And the last one, wrap it up with, we need to worry about ourselves. Luke 6:41, and why beholdest thou the mote which is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam which is in thine own eye? Again, how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam which is in thine eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote which is in the brother's eye. You know, we need to worry about ourselves first. Take care of the stuff in our lives, and then we can be better prepared and better able to help our brother. In conclusion, I have a short little story that goes along with worrying about ourselves. So there was a couple who was sitting with a marriage counselor for their first session, and the good doctor asked them to identify what seemed to be the root of their problems. Their wife responded, it all started when we thought it would be cute to think up each other's New Year's resolutions. Thank you.
share something with you real quick. This is like my third time serving, and when I serve my daughter, my granddaughter loves to eat, and she couldn't understand why she didn't have any bread today, so that's the reason why she was crying. And she didn't calm down until I followed what Richard said, is to pray for her. And we need to pray for our young mothers and our young families, because they are all part of us and very important part. So, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we've had a wonderful service here this day, and we thank you for that. For we know without your Spirit and without your angels flowing with among us, that's not possible. And the preparedness that these people have put forth this day is breathtaking. Father, you've blessed us so many times. And as we look out towards this new year, as many have said this day, that we might strive to be that better person. Put you first and strive to be that one heart, one mind. We thank thee for all the priesthood that served this day and for the words, the spoken word. Father, we love you and we thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to try.